I am the woman at the well. I come to the well in the heat of the day alone to avoid the sneers and the gossiping, wagging tongues that cut into my already broken heart. I avoid the painful ignorance and the lack of loving care. Shame, it is my only covering. My men, they have all thrown me away for those that are younger and prettier than I. The shattered pieces of my life lay scattered all around me, leaving a trail of tears, desperate to be loved, shattered and scattered is my soul. And then, he, the King, the Messiah, Yeshua, he came to meet me, at the well. He told me all about myself. He didn't shame me. He didn't blame me. He didn't chastise me. He forgave me. He accepted me. And he healed and delivered me. He fulfills all my hopes of an abiding, undying love that will never end. Shalom. Welcome to Healing for the Nations with a Modern Day Samaritan Woman. We are on a journey to the heart of our Father. And on that journey to the heart of our Father, we are preparing for the great wedding feast of the Lamb. We are attending to the spots and the wrinkles on our wedding dress. We are recovering what was stolen from us. We are recovering our true, authentic selves. We are shedding off the snakeskin lies that the enemy has been twisting around us for a good many years. For some of us, that twisting started in childhood. So this week, brothers and sisters, for those of you that have been following this ministry for any length of time, the last 2 years I've been having people come alongside of me and bring you messages. But now I'm going to go back to solo flying. This week, I'm going to be talking to you about the Good Samaritan Conference that was held the last week of June. And I want to share with you about the conference and what's on my heart. So I want to open up with sharing with you some passages out of Ezekiel 34. And this is what the concern was that the Father laid on my heart months ago. He spoke to me very clearly. And he said, judgment begins in the house of Jehovah, and it begins with my leaders. And he instructed me to put together a conference called the Good Samaritan. And it began for leaders. But because leaders didn't sign up, we opened it up for everybody. Because I believe that we are all called in some sort of leadership role, whether you are a mother leading your children, whether you are a husband leading your family, co-leading with your wife, or maybe you are a leader of a home fellowship. I know some people are in leadership position that they didn't ask to be leaders, but they find themselves leading in home fellowships. Maybe you are a leader of a congregation. So let's get started, because I have a lot on my heart, and I am hoping that his words are what you hear, and not my words, but his words. So let's get started, brothers and sisters. And I am sharing from the Complete Jewish Bible. Ezekiel 34. The word of Adonai came to me. Human being, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy. Tell them, the shepherds, that Adonai Elohim says this. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Shouldn't the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the choice meat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. And you slaughter the best of the herd, but you don't feed the sheep. You don't strengthen the weak, heal the sick, bandage the broken, bring back the outcasts, or seek the lost. On the contrary, you tyrannize them with crushing force. So they were scattered without a shepherd and became food for every wild animal. They were scattered. My sheep wandered around aimlessly on every mountain and hill. Yes, my sheep were scattered all over the land with no one to search for them or look after them. Therefore, shepherds, hear the word of Adonai. As I live, Adonai Elohim swears, because my sheep have become prey, my sheep have become food for every wild animal, since there was no shepherd, since my shepherds didn't look for my sheep, and instead my shepherds fed themselves, but not my sheep. Therefore, shepherds, hear the word of Adonai. Adonai Elohim says, I am against the shepherds. I demand that they hand my sheep back to me. I will not allow them to feed the sheep. And they won't feed themselves either. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths. They will be food for them no longer. For here is what Adonai Elohim says. I am taking over. I will search for my sheep and look after them myself. Just as a shepherd looks after his flock when he finds himself among his scattered sheep, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered when it was cloudy and dark. I will bring them back from those peoples, gather them from those countries, and return them to their own land. Then I will let them feed on the mountains of Israel, by the streams, and in all the livable places of the land. I will have them feed in good pasture. Their grazing ground will be on the high mountains of Israel. They will rest in good grazing grounds and feed in rich pastures on Israel's mountains. Yes, I will pasture my sheep, and I will let them rest, says Adonai Elohim. I will seek the lost, bring back the outcasts, bandage the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. As for you, my flock, Adonai Elohim says this, I will judge between sheep and other sheep, between rams and billy goats. Wasn't it enough for you to feed on the best pasture and drink from the clearest water? Did you have to trample the rest of the pasture and foul the remaining water with your feet? So now my sheep eat what you have trampled with your feet and drink water fouled by your feet. Therefore, here is what Adonai Elohim says to them. I will judge between the fat sheep and the thin sheep, because you push them with your flanks and shoulders and butt all the weak ones with your horns, to you scatter them in every direction. Therefore, I will save my flock. They will no longer be prey, and I will judge between sheep and other sheep. I will raise up one shepherd to be in charge of them, and he will let them feed, my servant David. He will pasture them and be their shepherd. I, Adonai, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, Adonai, have spoken. I'm going to stop there. As I was studying this, I was reminded of other scripture. And this actually ties into the Good Samaritan story. And I want to remind you that I believe it's in Matthew 15:24, where Yeshua says he only came for the lost sheep of Israel, and he is the good shepherd. So brothers and sisters, there are wounded among us with a variety of wounds. And if we do not know, how to triage, if we do not know how to assess with wisdom and discernment, then you will not know the right size bandage to use, the right ointment. You will not know where they need to go for treatment, for care. You will not know which floor of the hospital that they need. You will not know whether they need to go to detox. Because if they are hardcore alcoholic, they can die in their withdrawal. So having some understanding about alcoholism and addiction, heroin addiction, fentanyl, just basic understanding is very helpful. If you do not know about domestic abuse and what to look for, you can do a lot of damage. You will not know whether she needs a safety plan. You will not know whether her life is actually in danger and that of her children. You will not know whether she needs to go immediately into a shelter for battered women. Do you know the resources in your area? You see, that was the whole reason for the Good Samaritan Conference, was to equip the leaders, to come alongside of the leaders and help them to be more effective. You see, I hear stories all the time of what is going on in the congregations. And I hear stories of the counsel that's being given to married couples where there's actual domestic abuse and the leader is not trained. So what's actually happening is the abuser is getting empowered and the victim is getting re-traumatized and re-victimized and blamed. And the children are watching. If you don't know about porn addiction and you don't have tools to help, then you're not going to be able to be any help to your brother or your sister, because porn addiction is not a man thing. There's women with porn and sex addiction. You see, brothers and sisters, it is a we program, and it's all about equipping the saints to be more effective. These are the spots and the wrinkles on our wedding attire, individually and corporately. What hurts my heart is the Father sent me in person to some leaders to invite them to the conference. These are local leaders. They did not come. But yet I see that there's leadership training coming up, leadership conference, leadership training conference coming up. Now all of a sudden they're having their own leadership conference. And what concerns me is these are the issues that we're dealing with. These are the issues. And if we are not talking about the root issues, applying more Torah is not going to help us. How is that working for us? Some of you are no longer doing lines of cocaine, but you're doing lines of scripture. Some of you have put the plug in the jug. You're no longer drinking, but now you're using the Bible like you did your drug. Maybe you're not smoking crack cocaine anymore. Maybe you're not getting high on pot anymore. But I know from experience personally, and also from working in the field and being in this journey for 30 years around in the churches, I see it, brothers and sisters. If you are not doing any healing of the trauma, because it's not about the drugs, it's not about the alcohol, it's about the trauma, it's about the memories, it's about the emotions, it's about whatever you were using that substance to numb out. That's what it's all about. It's the roots of the addiction, because the addiction is not the problem. The problem is the trauma. This is generational shame that gets handed down. These are generational sins that get handed down. I'm all about let's unpack the sin. Sin is too general. Let's talk about, let's break it apart. Just like in Nehemiah, they had to clear the rubble away. We have to define the rubble. What is the rubble in your way? We need to develop a team to help us clear the rubble away so that we can start rebuilding the broken down places in our lives. And it takes a team effort. Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Celebrate Recovery, Al-Anon, Adult Children, Alcoholic and Dysfunctional Families, getting therapy with a specialized trained therapist. You can go to therapist after therapist after therapist, but if they are not trained in what you are actually dealing with, believe me, I've been to tons of therapy. It was a band-aid, it helped, but it didn't get to the root issues, didn't treat the trauma. You can apply scripture band-aid upon scripture band-aid, and if you don't get to the root of the issues, you're spinning your wheels. What's happening is we have these childhood wounds that many of us are carrying. We bring this into the fellowships. We bring it into our marriages. We bring it into the workplace settings. We are being triggered. Hasatan knows all your triggers. He knows exactly how to set those soul bombs off. I call them soul bombs. They're landmines. They got planted early in childhood. So brothers and sisters, the whole Good Samaritan Conference was designed, like I said, to equip the leaders to start the healing process. My team and I developed a PDF filled with resources. My web designer has loaded many different videos for people to tap into. We're hoping to expand this. We're hoping to push forward. I need your prayers because HaSatan does not want you to be healed. He does not want you to understand how he's operating in your life. He does not want you to know the snakeskin lies that he's wrapped around you that's keeping you from being an overcomer. He doesn't want you to have safe, trustworthy people to come alongside of you and help you with the spots and the wrinkles in your wedding attire. He doesn't want you on a road to recovery. He loves those religious spirits that are in operation in the Torah, Hebrew root movement, or whatever you call it. He loves the religious spirits that keep people bickering and arguing and chasing after flat earth and chasing after, you know, how to pronounce Jesus, Yeshua, Yahushua. He loves religion. He doesn't want you to sit at the feet of Yeshua and allow Yeshua to touch those places where you were horribly, where you were traumatized and tyrannized. I love how this it's the complete Jewish Bible. I love the word that it chose to use where the shepherds were tyrannizing the people. They were traumatized. They were traumatized. They were tyrannized. Yeshua says, I only came for the lost sheep of Israel. And most of you listening to my voice, as you well know, he's been calling the tribes back. Well, we've been in captivity, just like our ancestors in Egypt. They were in slavery for 400 years. They had been tyrannized. They had been traumatized. If you've never heard anything about epigenetics, check out epigenetics. I did a show about 3 years ago about epigenetics and how the DNA of Native Americans, African Americans, Hispanics, there's certain people groups, they have the DNA of Hebrew, the Hebrew lineage. And no, we're not saved by our lineage. Don't misunderstand me. What I am saying is that if you look at these people groups and what they have gone through, the massacres, the genocide, the Holocaust, the epigenetic research shows the trauma is actually handed down in the tissue. It's in the DNA. So brothers and sisters, it is a season for healing. That's what healing for the nations is all about. Just like Yeshua came to the woman at the well in the heat of the day just for her to do a therapy session with her. He told her everything about her. He didn't shame her. He didn't blame her. He didn't re-victimize her. He set that woman free. He set her free because he addressed the root of her issue. Her issue wasn't that she was promiscuous. We don't know her whole story, but I relate to the woman at the well. And I had an encounter with Yeshua, and he did tell me everything that happened to me when I was a little girl, and he told me how it shaped me, twisted me, led me down a road to promiscuity and drug addiction and riotous living. I was the prodigal daughter. So unfortunately, we are out of time. But after the break, we are going to come back and I want to talk more about the Good Samaritan and Peter. Welcome back, everybody. This is Healing for the Nations with a Modern Day Samaritan Woman. If you missed the first half, I want to invite you to tune in to Hebrew Nation Radio. Go to the schedule, look up the show, and there you will find the other times that it airs. Also, I would like to invite you to look into the other shows that I have done. The last couple of years, I've been interviewing some pretty cool people on various topics. And I also want to encourage you to support my ministry in prayer. If the Father leads you to also support me financially. And that will help me to raise funds for a women's retreat that I and some friends are planning. You can reach me through Healing for the Nations with a Modern Day Samaritan Woman .wordpress.com. You can also reach me. I do have a Twitter account. And I'm also on Facebook. So if you want to reach out to me, I would absolutely love to hear from you. So I have a lot to share with you. So I'm going to do a little bit of a recap. So the first half, we were talking about Ezekiel 34 and leadership. And I just want to read some scripture to bring you up to speed here. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Shouldn't the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the choice meat. You clothe yourselves with the wool, and you slaughter the best of the herd, but you don't feed the sheep. Don't strengthen the weak, heal the sick, bandage the broken, bring back the outcasts, or seek the lost. On the contrary, you tyrannize them with crushing force. So they were scattered without a shepherd and became food for every wild animal. They were scattered. My sheep wandered around aimlessly on every mountain and hill. Yes, my sheep were scattered all over the land with no one to search for them or look after them. In Matthew 15:24, Yeshua says, I only came for the lost sheep of Israel. Yeshua is the good shepherd. And I love in John 21, Yeshua says to Simon Peter, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Brothers and sisters, I was talking about the Good Samaritan Conference, Leadership Conference, that took place the last weekend of June. And I was talking about how very few people came to it. We opened it up. My team and I decided to open it up because no leaders were signing up for it, or very few signed up for it. And then I got to thinking, are we not all called leaders of some sort? Are we not all called to feed his sheep? Are we not all called to be disciples? Are we not all called to be the salt and the light? Are we not called, brothers and sisters, to encourage, to exhort? Are we not all called to be the hands and the feet of Yeshua? Are we not all called to be a body? When one is hurting, we should be hurting with the other person that's hurting. We're supposed to come alongside of one another and help one another. So I want to share with you about the Good Samaritan. So I am going to start with verse 25, and this is Luke chapter 10. An expert in Torah stood up to try and trap him by asking, Rabbi, what should I do to obtain eternal life? But Yeshua said to him, What is written in the Torah? How do you read it? He answered, You are to love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your understanding, and your neighbor as yourself. That's the right answer, Yeshua said. Do this, and you will have life. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Yeshua, And who is my neighbor? Taking up the question, Yeshua said, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him naked and beat him up, then went off, leaving him half dead. By coincidence, a priest was going down on that road. But when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite who reached the place and saw him also passed by on the other side. But a man from Samaria who was traveling came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. So he went up to him, put oil and wine on his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he set him on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 days' wages, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, Look after him, and if you spend more than this, I'll pay you back when I return. Of these three, which one seems to you to have become the neighbor of the man who fell among robbers? He answered, The one who showed mercy to toward him. Yeshua said to him, you go and do as he did. I love that story. And as I was studying Ezekiel 34, the Father was showing me how this all flows. Because in Ezekiel 34, does it not say that the shepherds did not bandage the wounded, did not come alongside of the weak, didn't feed them? Yes, it says, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Shouldn't the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the choice meat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the best of the herd, but you don't feed the sheep. You don't strengthen the weak, heal the sick, bandage the broken, bring back the outcasts, or seek the lost. On the contrary, you tyrannize them with crushing force. So they were scattered without a shepherd and became food for every wild animal, and they were scattered. So some of the notes that I jotted down in my Bible was what I already shared with you. Yeshua asking Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And Yeshua says, and I believe it was Matthew 15:24, where he says, I only came for the lost sheep of Israel. And Yeshua is a good shepherd. And he directed the disciples to go to the lost sheep of Israel. Did he not? Because they had been tyrannized by the leaders, by the shepherds, by the Levites, the religious leaders of the day, tyrannized. Side note, I've heard tell that there's been some women who had abusive husbands and they tried to get help to no avail. They just were re-victimized and re-traumatized. So they have just walked away from this walk. And I hear stories of other people wanting to just walk away because, brothers and sisters, we are a mess. We are re-victimizing, re-traumatizing, tyrannizing people who are wounded. The priests and the Levites left a half-dead man, wounded, beaten on the side of the road. Let's take that scenario and put it into today's terminology. How about this? What did you do to cause your husband to be so angry with you? Oh, you must have made him good and mad for him to beat you. Well, you brought that on yourself. You know, you're the one that's making all these choices. You made the choice to pick up and drink. You made the choice. You made your bed, lie in it now. You deserve it. You deserve it. She deserves it. Have you ever heard the way she talks to her husband? She deserves to be beaten. Those are just some of the things that I've heard. Remember the vision that Peter had about the food? He thought it was about the food. It wasn't about the food. It was about how he was prejudiced. He had stigmatized people. He needed a vision correction. The Jews despised Samaritans. There was such a great stigma upon Samaritans. And the Father was Yeshua was trying to correct their vision, correct their attitudes. I used to go to Alcoholics Anonymous because I needed an attitude adjustment. Some of us need an attitude adjustment. Some of us need some education. And that's what the conference was all about. And it breaks my heart. We poured so much work, time and effort into this conference to come alongside the leaders and equip them with tools to help them to be more effective leaders. Because the shepherds, the leaders, will be held accountable. If you are a leader, please reach out to me. I want to help you to be a more effective leader. I hear horror stories about some of the things that are going on in the congregations. And I love the saying, you don't know if you don't know. One of the things that I really love about being saved out of the snake pits that I dwelled in and how he's healed me and he's equipped me and educated me is to come alongside of people and pass on the education about domestic abuse, about complex post-traumatic stress, about these things, to break the chains of shame, to educate people. I love to see those chains come off because that's what it's all about, is it not? Helping people to get free. In Isaiah 61, I love Isaiah 61. It's one of the very first scriptures that the Father gave me when He saved me from drugs and alcohol. Oh my goodness, I was such an addict. I was hopeless. I was such a miserable drunk. I was a miserable alcoholic. My grandmother died at 38 years of age from alcoholism, and I was walking in her footsteps. And when the Father saved me, I used to cry out to Him, "Why did you save me? I know the last time I shot drugs, I knew I could die and I didn't care." And this is what the Father has taken me to numerous times. The Spirit of Adonai Elohim is upon me because Adonai has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, to let out into light those bound in the dark, to proclaim the year of the favor of Adonai and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Yes, provide for those in Zion who mourn, giving them garlands instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, cloak of praise instead of a heavy spirit, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, planted by Adonai, in which He takes pride. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore sites long destroyed. They will renew the ruined cities destroyed many generations ago. Strangers will stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners plow your land and tend your vines. But you will be called priests of Adonai, spoken of as ministers to our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations and revel in their riches. Because of your shame, which was doubled, and because they cried they deserved disgrace, therefore in their land what they own will be doubled, and joy forever will be theirs. For I, Adonai, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offerings, so I will be faithful to reward them and make an eternal covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are the seed Adonai has blessed. I am so joyful in Adonai. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me in salvation, dressed me with a robe of triumph, like a bridegroom wearing a festive turban, like a bride adorned with her jewels. For just as the earth brings forth its plants, or a garden makes its plants spring up, so Adonai, God, will cause victory and glory to spring up before the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out brightly and her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. Then you will be called by a new name, which Adonai himself will pronounce. You will be a glorious crown in the hand of Adonai, a royal diadem held by your God. You will no longer be spoken of as abandoned, or your land be spoken of as desolate. Rather, you will be called, "My delight is in her," and your land, Beulah, married. For Adonai delights in you. Your land will be married as a young man marries a young woman. Your sons will marry you as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride. Your God will rejoice over you. I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never fall silent, neither by day nor by night. You who call on Adonai, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he restores Jerusalem and makes it a praise on earth. Adonai has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, "Never again will I give your grain to your enemies as food, nor will strangers drink your wine for which you work so hard. But those who harvest the grain will eat it with praises to Adonai. Those who gather the wine will drink it in the courtyards of my sanctuary. Go on through, clear away the stones, raise a banner for the peoples. Adonai has proclaimed to the end of the earth. say to the daughter of Zion, hear, your salvation is coming. Hear, his reward is with him, and his recompense is before him. They will call them the holy people, the redeemed of Adonai. You will be called sought after, city no longer abandoned. So brothers and sisters, we have work to do. We have rubble to clear away, and we need the right tools to clear away that rubble. I can't do your work for you, and you can't do the work for me. I can come alongside of you and help you. One thing that was said in the conference, it was interesting because there was a common theme through it. There was three or four of us that were talking about a triage in terms of coming alongside of somebody who has been wounded. And you have to know, you need to have some tools to do a proper assessment in order to know whether the person needs to go to the hospital, on which floor of the hospital they need, whether they need a safety plan, whether they need to go to a woman's shelter for safety. There's all sorts of assessment tools, and that's why we developed a PDF. It's really important to have your own tool bag and know the resources in your own area. Where are the 12-step meetings? Where are the local domestic violence shelters and agencies? Where are the local Celebrate Recovery meetings? Where are the resources in your area? I just want to stress that. Find the resources in your area so you have the right bandages, the right ointment, the right inn to track them to. So I hope that was edifying. I hope that was helpful. Once again, I ask that you would pray for me because I have a lot going on. And so, like I said before, I'm going to switch gears. Instead of having guests on, I'm going to be doing more solo shows. And so anyways, with that, brothers and sisters, I'm going to bid you shalom until next time. Tonight.